disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands, Venerable Kalsang Wangdu, Mrs. Chen, Margaret Gardiner, Geraldine Harvey, Carolyn Marley, Dorje Tsering, Boomer the dog, Mira the cat, Napoleon the cat, Seymour the dog, Skibo the dog. Job search. Evie, Roseanne Barona, Brian and Brandy, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Lindsay Piatti, Sarai, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kyabze Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Galton, Venerable Chukila, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, Jorge Aurelio, Jim Austin, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcis Barona Sr., Susie Boehm, Bethany and Dale Bullis, Bunko, Yuki Burrows, family of Mrs. Chen, Ted Domi, Tashi Doma, Sarah Epting, family of Margaret Gardiner, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Christina Harrison, family of Geraldine Harvey, David Hines, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Dell and Sue Johnston, Sarah Jones, Barry Judge, Helen Kasanoff, George Collar, Jonathan Kramer, Sean Jean Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojack, Ina Lovelace. R.M., family of Carolyn Marley, Wilbert Martin, Elvia Mahian family, Bruce Miller, David Muller, Audrey Murphy, Evan Myrtle and family, Jessica Nunley, Marie Oliver, Jay Pandya, Jameen Pandya, Renee Reyna, Reynolds McClure family, Ann Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Ronnie Schumann and family, Andre Smith, Bond Smith, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Jim Satoris, Lopsam Tupton, family of Dorje Tsering, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Brittany the Maltese, Dorje and Cadro the Pigs, Spike the Cat. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. My name's Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through the door, and he'll turn his back to us and start prostrating. So when he enters, if you please stand out of respect for him and his teachings, and you'll see people prostrating along with him. And if you feel uncomfortable doing so, just remain standing. It's no problem at all. Then when he sits down and he signals me, we'll start chanting some prayers. And most of the ones where I mention page numbers refers to the gold prayer book. If you have a white binder instead, and it's, if you're sitting in a chair, it's behind your chair, then the prayers are on the first page. It says Kadampa Center prayers, and then at the end of the teaching, we usually say dedications. That'll be on the back of that same page, so you should just ignore the page numbers. We'll be starting, the first one will be on page 183. There's a great deal of merit and a great purification practice just to walk around the stupa, to circumambulate it even one time clockwise, and also to spin the prayer wheels. Very, you get the same merit as having recited each prayer that's printed on the rolls of paper that are in the prayer wheels. When you just spin it one time, so it's a great practice. And also there are Dharmakaya relics in the stupa, that big white structure, and those are primary relics. Secondary relics are relics like Shakyamuni Buddha's bones or Shakyamuni, the cloth, something, that piece of robe that he wore. That's secondary. So Dharmakaya relics are much our primary relics. So very powerful. If you have cell phones, please turn them off or put them on mute so as not to disturb the class. Also, in the past several weeks, Geshe-la has invited us to discuss certain topics, by breaking out in groups or else volunteering, to make comments. So when that happens and you want to contribute, then if you please wait till you get the handheld mic and then speak directly into it, practically put your mouth on it. You have to do that, otherwise it doesn't pick up the sound for some reason. And because even though you speak loudly, okay, even if you speak loudly, they can't hear it online. Thank you. Please turn to page 183 in the Gold Book, or the page that says Kadampa Center Prayers in the white binder. And in the 183, let's chant the mantra that's between the two lines. That's Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. Page 183. Mune, mune, maha, munaye, soha, tayata, om, mune, mune, maha, munaye, soha, tayata, Mune maha munaye soha. Now turn to page 34. 34, and we'll read the four immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I turn to page 37, and we'll chant the Four Immeasurables chanting version, and in the White Prayer Book, it's the words by the music notes. Sentient tam che dewa dong de
Denpa Juchi
chant the two mantras below that, Chenrezig's mantra 8 times, and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Thank you. The children are free to go to their classes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy Rabina teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Is she calmer this time? Is she calmer this time? you know, Rabina is a wonderful person. You know, wonderful. Every year, so when she comes, I had lunch with her, so I request her to come back every year. So I get benefit, a lot of benefit. She's been nun like a long time, long time, to a couple of eons. And thank you for coming here, you know, in this raining season. Even today's raining is not nice weather, but you come here, so clearly shows that you have interest, you know, to... You know, Buddhism is all about taking care of our own mind, you know. The Buddhism is all comes down on how to take care of our mindset, you know, our way of thinking, mindset, our attitude, you know, the basically to improve our thinking, okay? Through improving one's own thinking, that's how one, you know, how to say, there's a way to liberate, there's a way to liberate oneself from all the complications Devi experience what we call from, in Buddhist teaching, what we call samsara. You know, it's filled with complication. No? Mm. That's the nature of samsara. There's nothing, that's, you are doing something wrong. That's the nature of samsara. It's not just actually it's the result of the mind. What do you think? It's the result of our mind, no? The result of our mind. So then so samsara, so please, you know, you read, okay, if you are interested, if you are really interested, if you have very strong interest, oh, I really want to liberate myself, you know, for good. Not just, you know, one day, 2 days, for good. If you are really interested about, you know, moksha or liberations, then what we need to do in the first step, what we need to do, we need to think about what is samsara, you know, what is samsara. So then realizing that, you know, will minimize unrealistic expectations. Not everything will go fine. No. Why? Because this is samsara. No, we are not going to be happy all the time. That's why, that's the nature of samsara. Oh, we will be happy sometime here, there, but not every day, no. That's like unrealistic expectations. Oh? If you really want to be happy all the time, what we need to do, we need to think how to improve our mindset through meditation. So, so then, you know, like if you manage to do that, then doesn't matter where you live, even though you live in the middle of the cave. Physically-wise, there's nothing, but mental-wise, you are happy. You're happy. Oh? Device on happy hippie. You become happy hippie. Happy hippie? Yeah. You become happy hippie, yeah. Doesn't, you know, the external force, external circumstance doesn't have much impact on your mental happiness, you know? So that's what all the Buddhism is about. So then, you know, yeah, you could, you know, like I enjoy sleep very much, you know. So then everybody enjoys sleep, you know, so you can sleep home, you know, so not to come here. But it clearly shows, my point is that you choose in this, you know, even the weather is not nice, you choose to come here, it clearly shows that you have some interest. So then, you know, we are all friends, you know. So then, you know, I must share what I know from the Buddhism, I must share. So I think the first critical point is to understand what is samsara, you know, what is samsara. But just having the knowledge about samsara will reduce unrealistic expectations. Oh, why I'm not happy today, why is this happening, why this happened? No. In Buddhism, there's nothing. Nothing is independent. There's everything is interdependent. Interdependent, no. Everything is interdependent. that side, this side. If there's no this side, there'll be no that side. It's all interdependent, no. It's all relative, no. So that's a goodness, no. It's all causes and dependent causes and conditions. So, so therefore, that, you know, many of us have wished to change the world. But practically, no, it's not that easy. Why? There's a reason. No, there's a reason. No, there's a reason why there's so many problems. There's a reason. Oh. A reason pretty much, you know, related to the people's mindset, perception, projections, you know, then all of the perceptions. Oh. But there's something that we can do, I can do, you know, with little effort every day, you know, how you said, get your old act together. I
said, huh? Get your act together.
Yeah, get your act together. We have to motivate ourselves. We have to motivate, no? Even the exercise is not that easy, right? Exercise, no? Yeah, I'm not sure how many people enjoy going around the lake. So, you know, but everybody knows this is also important when it comes down on health, it's important to exercise. But everybody knows that. But how many people go around the lake with excitement? Not easy. So I would like to read some question here. So before we do that, please, if you don't mind, to take 1 minute to introduce to yourself to each other. So then after that, I will know. Question has been sitting here maybe now 3 weeks or maybe almost 4 weeks, but I did not forget, you know, so I've been thinking about it. So there's a couple of questions. So why do we walk clockwise around the stupa? Stupa that we have here outside there, you know, the colorful one. Why do we turn the prayer wheel clockwise? But this is the same questions related to different objects. This prayer wheel, this is the prayer wheel. You know, like Tibet is a Buddhist country, so Buddhism become part of Tibetan culture. So not many times we just do, you know, so we just do, we don't question, we just do. So when you come to West, there's all, every single thing has questions. And that's a good thing, you know, that's a good thing. So, there's no really clear as a answer, but you know, in Vajrayana teachings, that right and left, you know, right, symbolize like method. Yeah. If you don't understand my pronunciation, please raise your hand. Then I'll ask Chugila or maybe Thamula to say, okay, method. So Kanto and Thamula, they are now so used to my pronunciations, so they understand. No? Am I correct? Yeah. So method, when you talk about there's no, or you can say two wings, you know, two wings, that's how the bird flies, and the method and the wisdom kind of like considered as a two wings. So method, the right is method. And that method, what method means? Method means compassion, mainly. compassion that eventually leads to bodhicitta, or altruistic attitude towards all sentient beings. So that's the right. Left wisdom, male energy or female energy, method and wisdom, same like, when you see the Vajra and Bell, the Vajra, the male energy, the Bell, the female energy, then there's something to do also day and night. There's also the symbolized method and the wisdom. Part of night symbolizes wisdom, day symbolizes method, things like that. So that's based on the Vajra and the teaching. So then, when you look at the enlightened qualities, enlightened beings' qualities, there's like 80 mark. That's how the translation is. 80 mark, that means enlightened qualities. They're related to the physical body. There's qualities. 80 or 32 sign, 80 marks. That's what you call. That's how they translate. Peja sambu jeju, se sambu sunjisani. Ear, the size of the ear, the hair, the eyes, and all of this. That's like 32 mark. If you wonder, so then you can read the text called Ornament of Killer Realization. So that's in English, translated into English, Ornament of Killer Realizations, the chapter number 8. If you read that, there's like detailed explanation of this 80 things, 32 things. 32 signs. If you wonder, that's where you can find, okay? If you want to know more details, then I think that book is already translated into English. You can read that. So in that, in there, like in the 80 qualities of enlightened beings, in those, one of those qualities is each of the shavas means like walking towards right side. Make sense? So now here, when you walk around the park, there's some kind of rules, I think. Right? People coming here, then you're going down, go there. If you go down there, people get confused, So then if you see somebody's coming here, then they'll go like this. So you are supposed to go this way, then they are supposed to come this way. So anyway, Eshoshya, that's one of the enlightened signs, the 80 mass, Eshoshya means going right. So then, generally speaking, pretty much all the people, they use right hand, right? Right hand. But there are some people that are left-handed, but generally speaking, so then why everybody use right hand? That's a question that's reversed to you. It's not like going around the stupa, why people use right hand?
The brain is wired that way, it's wired differently.
Oh.
There's also an old belief, the term in Latin for the left hand is the sinister hand. And I hear a lot of, I'm ambidextrous, I can write with my right and left. And my teachers in elementary school encouraged me to write with my right because they said the left hand is an unlucky hand.
There's an old cultural belief that the left hand is an unlucky hand or a bad hand, and so that's why, at least in the West, they encourage you to do as much as possible with your right hand. So
in the West.
Yeah, in the rest, you're supposed to do as much as possible with right. And since I'm ambidextrous, my teachers always encourage me not to use my left. They always encourage me to use my right. And they said it was because, left-handed handwriting isn't as neat, but it's actually, it goes back to that old superstition.
Old superstition or old belief.
It's a mix of both. There's some people who genuinely, like, we live in West Virginia. And there are still people who believe that anybody who's left-handed is of the devil, is an evil person. They genuinely believe it, and they live out in the rural part. But if you live where we live in Charleston, they say it's superstition. So it's both. It's both a belief for some people, but it's a superstition for others. It depends on which side of the river you're on.
Oh.
So,
Yeah, yeah. From Buddhist point of view, every single human being is considered as a precious human life. So that you now you use both hands?
I do use both hands.
Yeah, you are very lucky. No, you are very lucky, yeah. Yeah. Don't you think because you are able to use both right, both hands, that's like more useful, right?
Yeah.
Practically.
Yeah.
You know, so now people are more educated. So you know, certain things that you know is like how is it outdated? Certain things, you know, so now people are more knowledgeable, yeah, able to use both hands, so, you know, it's, you know, anyway, that's very interesting, so, that's my, this leads to, back to my next explanations. Same, you know, like, okay, it's the same, like, pretty much same what she said, you know, well said, already been said. Probably no need to say that again. So, yeah, right is considered as right path. Left is considered as the wrong path. So, yeah, if you're walking in the park, if you're walking on the left side, there's a wrong path because somebody's coming up, then you may get hit nose to nose. So the right path is you go right, so when you come, I'm not sure, when you then say, if I'm coming, like, if I'm going clockwise, then I go to the right side, right? Do you follow? So that's the right path. So you're supposed to, I'm not sure, according to the belief or according to law, I'm not sure, according to what?
Practice.
This is law that when you go around the path clockwise, you are supposed to walk.
Yeah.
So then when the bike comes, they say, before I'm kind of confused, they are talking to me, so they say, oh, all right. So basically they are saying, I'm on your left.
Mm-hmm.
They're shouting, they're kind of, you know, I have no idea what they say. So look, I learned, they are coming on, they are warning you, they are coming on the left. So anyway, so you know, there is like, and that's one thing that she said, you know, it's like right is considered as right path, right side, considered as right path. Then the wrong, left side considered as wrong path. That's another thing that she already said, you know. So then another thing, there's now one more thing about these questions. Like going clockwise is like showing kind of respect to the object. Respect to the object. Okay, clockwise. Then going round clockwise, there's two things, clockwise and going round. Going round, why are you going round? Then you end up seeing whole object, not just one side. You're seeing whole things, you know, back and forth, everything. If you just go here, lift, then you just see only one part. Then you go round, then you look, and then you see whole object. Whole object. There's, you know, there's another benefit to see, you know, imprint. In Buddhism, the imprint is very important, imprint. Even though right now, not able to put into everything that I learned, put into practice, but imprint is very important, you know, to have much imprint as possible into our mental continuum, or mind stream. Positive imprint, you know, imprint. And somehow, it will going to ripen, you know, when it meet with the correct conditions, it will ripen. No? See, interest about Buddhism's, why it's happening now, why it's not happening 20 years ago, why it's not happening, you know, why it's happening now, interest about meditation, why it's happening now. There's seed, there's imprint in our mind stream. It takes to activate that imprint, it takes some kind of conditions. No? No, like that. So like going clockwise is showing respect to the object, then going round is to see whole object, okay? Whole object. That's the one. So that question has been sitting here last 3 weeks, so if whoever is asking this question, don't think that I forgot. I know I didn't forget this question, no. Sarah, you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, Gashala, that in India where I grew up,
The left hand is considered unclean because you use it to wash yourself.
Ah.
So in Hinduism, for example, you don't use your left hand for anything. So, and so people look at me strangely when I do use my left hand to eat and for other things. So they look at me, and I do certain things with my left hand. So they look at me very strangely.
So now, like, what do you think of 21st century? The modern world, people who are more educated, they probably don't care. Do they care?
Depends on what side of the river you're on.
What side of the river you're on? So, the river, what side of the river? From emptiness point of view, the side of the river is like mainly imputed by mind. If you're here, you say, I'm here, that side. If you're there, so it's that side here. So it's like, from the emptiness point of view, that's not really inherent, this side or that side, it's all relative. So probably need to give some emptiness teachings. People who live out of the river, so discussion of emptiness. So, like, you know, certain things, you know, like, very much to do with, you know, limited knowledge, you know, so it is not, see, certain things that still we also do in the monastery, probably we should not do. So, you know, there are certain prayers that we do every year, and the discipliners, there's one monk who, you know, walks around in the prayer wheel, not the prayer wheel, sorry. Not in the prayer wheel, so, in the prayer hall, you know, walk around, who's like napping, who's talking, so they make sure, you know, everybody's concentrating on prayers, you know. So in Tibet, there's no electricity, so discipliner has to hold the light, lamp, to see, you know, far corners to see. So now in monastery, still there, even though now you don't have to carry any lamp because you can see, we have electricity, but they still does that.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it's practically not that important, but, you know, there's some benefit, you know, to remind people that's how, usually there's no electricity, you know, to get them. So those things, you know, probably practically is not that important, but, you know, history-wise, it's kind of important. So I myself, but I don't care, you know, which hand you use, so which side of the river you live in. So but, as long as you are good people, it doesn't matter, you live this side of the river, you know. So then I will have some time for discussion. Okay, so let me read this question. So this is like, what possible meaning might there be in the sudden appearance of the little bird in front of the someone leading a very large crowd? Large crowd. I'm not sure what that means. What that means, I don't know.
Guess what?
What is that?
Earlier this week, one of the presidential candidates was speaking, and a little bird came and sat on the table in front of him for a moment, and then flew away. So I think the question is, what could it mean if somebody was speaking before a large crowd, and a little bird came and perched for a few moments and then flew away?
What could it mean? Maybe try to give some advice, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it means. So, I'm not sure, I don't know. So I don't know. What do the five colors in the Buddhism mean? So now here, that's quite easy, like, is this the right order? Or maybe my brain is not working. There's five colors. Shell color, actually, like east, no, east supposed to be white, color white, east, shell color. That symbolizes There's like what you call a five Buddha families. Five Buddha families. When you look at the mandala, next time when you see the monks or nuns, they're creating mandala. So east always white. South, yellow. West, red. North, green. White, yellow, red, green. In the center is blue. They symbolize five Buddha families. They symbolize that. You can ask the Venerable Nuns, so they'll give you better explanation in the better English. Okay, those five Buddha families. So now when you look at the prayer flags here, so there are so many of them, I'm not sure which there is, should be a 5 and 5, 5, 5. Forget the last one, probably look at the last one, that's like from sky, what do you call blue? Sky, the white, probably cloud, red, probably earth. I'm not sure, I don't know, so I don't know, I don't remember. From the water, earth, water, sky, like, please just Google. Yeah, you can find, so, I don't remember, sorry, I don't remember. I used to remember so many things back in the monastery, since I moved here, now 16 years ago. Most of my library is closed for good. Most of them is not using, so close. It's not then, it's easy to find out. Okay, so not that you know. So what is the meaning of the Medicine Buddha Mantra? So very good question. So all of these are good questions, but you know, some of them easy to find. Perfect. So look at that. Reflect that, that's the answer of this. No, what do the five color in Buddhism mean? So one that related to the practice I already explained, you know, east, all they all explained that symbolize five Buddha. So Medicine Buddha Mantra, this is called healing mantra, so all the Tibetan physicians, you know. So the part of the daily requirement for them is to do Medicine Buddha practice before they see patients. So I think it's also very, very important. So physicians, you know, we each have, each one of us, different relationship with our doctors. Some of the people say, I very much like my doctor because she listened. She listened my, you know, what I have to say. She listened very carefully. He listened very carefully, you know. So that, you know, mindset part of the physician is very, very critical for patients' improvement in their health. So therefore, Tibetan physicians, so part of their, you know, when they graduated from the medical school, so they are part of their daily practice of Medicine Buddha practice. So they do Medicine Buddha practice before they see patients. So also the individual, you know, so if you have some health problems, so you know, so then you do this healing practice. So Medicine Buddha Mantra is part of the healing practice. So there's some kind of visualizations, you know, that you visualize something, so then after that, you know, so then you go to the, then you recite the mantra or Medicine Buddha Mantra. Also good to recite if you have pets who are not feeling well, you can recite the mantra. So now you can, when you go to walk, so you can, you know, tape, you can record Doesn't have to be somebody, doesn't have to be my voice or somebody's voice. It can be your voice too. You just record them and play, you know, and they get benefit. I truly believe, because I used to have cat, you know, two cats. And I used to have two cats. One is called Omani, Omani. I name her after the mantra, Omani Pemehu. So I go, Omani. Little, first time when I got her, it looks like a dust ball. You know, floating around the house, the big house. I was living with someone else, and her base, her like downstairs, quite big. So you can see in the corner there, like, oh my. And yeah, I used to bring her everywhere, you know, wherever I go. If somebody asked me to come to dinner, I bring them with me. So then after this, it became big, so it's not manageable to bring here. Anyway, then she passed away. So then after that, another cat called Ningjie, I named her Compassion, Ningjie. You know? So that cat was from New Orleans, when the New Orleans was hit by hurricanes. So I went there before the hurricanes, so there's one of our members' relatives, you know, has this cat. They just got the cat. And then the boy is asking me to give her name. So I say, okay, call Ninja, with compassion. So after 2 days later, the mother calls her, Gisela, no Ninja. Somehow that cat locked her in the bathroom or something happened, I'm not sure. So she's saying that cat has no compassion. Anyway, so, you know, strange, but from the Buddhist point of view, we say it's karma. I have some connection with that cat. So after the hurricane, there's two of their cats. We take care of them while they are, you know, it's kind of like settling different parts of the world. So they both took care, they left. We took care of them after a couple of months. So the ninja was one who's like kind of outgoing, like to see people. One is almost hiding, you know, in the closet or the... After 2 months, the ninja and we built this relationship, very strong bond. So then I like kind of like become attached. I become kind of like clinging on her. This is my cat now. I wanted this cat to be mine. So then I called, you know, so I asked, you know, to the lady, so if you don't mind, ask them that I would like, if they let me keep the ninja. So then the boy is very happy, you know. So, oh, of course, you know, if Gisela wants to keep it, then that's how Ninja ended with me. So then after that, I moved to another house, you know. Then I have altar in the middle of my room, altar, small altar. And I go around, you know, do my prayers, the mount I go around. And I thought, oh, maybe I should bring my Ninja around with me together, you know. So maybe she will create some positive merit going around. In the beginning, I have to trick her with a treat. I give her a treat so that she follows me, you know, treat. So then did that number of times. Then after there's no treat, she just come around. Whoever, you know, she looks for me, you know, then she comes to the altar room. If I'm going around, she comes around. One round, no problem. You don't have to say anything, she just comes. Then, you know, 2 rounds, sometimes 3 rounds she goes, then 3rd round then she do all kinds of things, you know, like living there. Anyway, she passed away, you know, then she got, you know, some kind of cancer. Then she, do you mind if I tell you this story? No, oh, yeah. So then, you know, I pick her up every day probably 4 or 5 times, and I pick her up, then I say some mantras, you know, so then I touch her face, you know, like that. So then one time I went to California, at that time she was very sick. So I was leading some retreat in California. So the Gisela called me, oh, now Ninja is dying. I know probably she's not going to, you know, make it. So then Gisela said, Ninja is like, kind of fell down in the litter box. Gisela was barely breathing, you know. And I told Gisela, don't touch, you know, just let it be. So then I asked Gisela to play some mantras, you know. Then Gisela did that. And Gisela got some busy. Somehow, there's a downstairs in the laundry room. That's where the little boss. There's stairs. There's like at least 5 stairs. So there's downstairs, and after there's many rooms there, there's a couple of rooms there, you know, she can go anywhere. Somehow she managed to climb all the way up and went to the altar room. The Gisang had no idea how she got up. She's barely breathing. Went up all the, you know, this altar room where I sit, do my prayer, she's sitting there. And now not really facing towards the window. Then I, after maybe 1 hour, I'm not sure, someone in the truth again. Then she looks towards altar like this. Gisang was, it's hard to believe, you know, if I tell anybody, people will not believe. Gisang was a ninja, both hands like this, looking towards altar. See, you know, I truly like, that was amazing, you know, that was very, very happy, and that's how she passed away. Altar room, she could die in the kitchen, don't have to come all the way up because there's another room there. She could go anywhere, you know, she knows all the rooms. So she just come there. So, with that experience, I firmly believe, you know, so like reciting mantra, so bringing, you know, like if you have some books, holy books, or maybe some stupa, put it there, you know, get them used around, go around. They can also exercise, you know. Ninjas do need exercise because ninjas are kind of big. When the people come, they say, is she, like, is she pregnant? No, she's pregnant with the food. She's really big. No, whenever she wants to eat, I just give food, you know, so if somebody comes to my food, so I'll be probably, you know, miserable, you know, so one meal a day, so I just, whenever she wants to eat, I just give food, all kind of food. But anyway, she has good life, she died naturally in my altar room. So I believe this, any mantra, it doesn't have to be medicine, but a mantra, any mantra. Oh, so now I'm not going to say any many stories because it's like, you know, what is the meaning of the medicine for the mantra? Okay. The mantra begins, the short mantra begins with like teyata. Teyata is likewise. I say likewise, you know. It's exactly likewise, I know the meaning of the prayer, meaning of the mantra. Teyata. Om. Om here. If you want the word om, that's how it looks like om in Tibetan. Om, that's one, two, three, step, letter, 1, 2, 3. You see? 1, 2, 3, they become om, this om. Body, speech, mind, symbolize a, u, ma, become om. Symbolize body, speech, and mind, om. So the teyata, likewise, om, there's no body, speech, mind. In this case, it refers to medicine Buddhas, healing Buddha, body, speech, mind. If you are visualizing yourself as a medicine Buddha, then symbolize your body, speech, mind too, om, that om. Beka there means physician. Beka means again, physicians. So. Mahabhagavata, great physicians. Mahabhagavata, Raja Samugata, so king of physicians. Samugata, so. So that's basically trying to draw the healing energy, so through this. If you're visualizing the form of light, dark, bright, blue light, then you're supposed to visualize entering into your body through the crown chakra. All the way to know, feel every single part of your body and purify all the sicknesses. So, if you are taking some medicines, you recite this mantra a couple of times, blow your medicines. If you are drinking something with the medicine, blow that, it will bless the healing energy through mantras. Goes into the water, into the medicines, and you drink. If you are feeding your animals, your pets who are not doing well, you can recite, do the same thing. Any mantra, you know, like medicine Buddha mantra, this particular dedicated for health. Any mantra you recite, blow into water, then you give to your pet. Anything, you know, that, you know, helps. Okay, that's it. Transforming energy through word. Word? Word. Not just word. Sacred word. It's not just word. The sacred, sacred word. No, mantra is sacred word. Okay. So the last one. So then we'll have a little discussion. We still have time. Oh. So now this is the is your question?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we live in West Virginia, so, where there's concern over the air, soil, and the water pollution due to the mountaintop removal, mining, chemical spill, natural gas drilling. So, what are some recommended prayer for cover? The mantra pacifying the harms created by those destructive practices. So, if you go to the FMT website, there's a lot of prayers been listed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Generally speaking, you know, wherever I go, so if people ask something, you know, so I always suggest them to do recite Paramantra, or maybe 21 Paramantra. It brings positive energy, you know, positive energy. It brings positive change. You know. The obstacles, you know, if you know, it's very hard, but you know, like having any ill will towards those people, so that's not very good. That's not the solutions, you know. So ill will towards anybody, you know, it's not good. You know, that's like any form of negative mindset, it's not good for all of us, you know. It's not just, you know, what we need more positive mindset, you know. We need more positive mindset, you know. There's something we can do every day. You can motivate, you know, to think something positive. I think that's very critical. If you think something positive, you know, so then your path, everything, then you are on the right path. If you are thinking something negative, then you are on the wrong path. If you could consider yourself a Buddhist, but you are still thinking something negative, then you are on the wrong path. If you think something, Samba Sana, Sadhana Lamya Sans, Samba means mind. If mind is gentle, positive, everything is good. No, Samba Sana, Sadhana Lamya Sans. If the mind is negative, then everything becomes, you know, negative. Therefore, everything depends on the mind. So this is very, very important. That's why the purpose of meditation is to reduce, to minimize, you know, to negative mindset. To reduce hope. Yeah, no, you may have tons of reason to be negative, but the bottom line, you know, negative mindset is mental suffering. You don't need, you know, that's the last thing that you need. Last thing, how you say? That's the last thing. The last thing?
Last thing.
Yeah. Not last thing, the last thing that you need, negative mindset. Towards yourself, towards others, culture, tradition, belief. You know, whatever people do, you know, as long as they are happy, that's, you know, like, I mean, like, how you say, moral responsibility for me is to take care of my mind, you know, my mind. I myself make sure that my mind is, you know, thinking something positive. That's very important. That's very, very important. So, it's important for my health, it's important for my happiness, you know, my mindset, you know. It's trying to rely on prayer, meditations, setting of altar. So all that helps to keep my mind something, think something positive. So that's what is, you know, critical. So that's good for the world, you know. More gentle heart. We need more gentle heart people. Not necessarily we need more Buddhists, more Christian, practically not everybody will become Buddhist. That's practical, that's a reality. Not everybody will become Christian, that's a reality. But putting effort on that is goes against the reality. Some people have no interest in anything. They just want to be good people. That's wonderful, you know. So that's the bottom line. To everybody become good people, good, you know, positive thinking, kind to each other, respect to each other, regardless what they do, what they eat. Well, I don't like him because he drinks Tibetan tea, butter tea. That's kind of sad, you know. Why you care if somebody drinks butter tea, you know. It's up to them, you know. If you don't like butter tea, you don't have to drink butter tea. If they make you drink butter tea, so then you need to stand up for yourself. So, no, just leave them alone, you know. Wish them happy. That's all. Wish them happy. Wish them something good, you know. So, in silos, they will feel that you are sincere, genuine, gentle, kind persons. You will have more friends. Ninja my cat, we are not become very close because she knows I'm monk, I'm Gishi, I'm teaching in Kadama Center. She has no idea. Not because I'm Buddhist, that's why she become close to me. Not because I'm being nice to her. That's why she become nice to me. That's how we build our relationship. Similar, you know. So, that's why, you know, every day, you know, like wishing happiness for all living beings, you know, may all sentient beings have happiness. Not just may all Buddhist or Christian or American, you know, may all sentient beings. It is important. What you think, it does matter. It does matter, you know. Our thinking does matter. It plays, our minds plays very important role into our happiness. What we think matters, does matter. If we think, may all living beings be happy. So, you know, that's good mindset. That's why may all sentient beings have happiness, the cause of happiness. So when you think something like that, then slowly, slowly, your perception of the world will change. You look at people with different perspective. You know, between her and me, there's no difference. I'm seeking every happiness I can get. I'm trying to avoid every suffering that is possible. With that, there's no difference. So I don't have extra reason to be happy. But there's no difference. No? So wishing somebody to be happy, and when you say prayer, thinking about welfare, well-being of all living beings, that's a good mindset to have. Good mindset to have. You know, heading towards every other tradition, culture, that's really sad. That mindset is not good. It will, you know, like, there will be no happiness. There will be no happiness, you know. The mindset is very important. What we think does matter. Day-to-day life is matter. So, it does require some knowledge, you know. Some knowledge. Today I'm not happy. It's okay, you know. So, tomorrow is not going to be like that, you know. Everything is impermanent. Everything changes. In samsara, you can't expect to be happy all the time. Then, there's no samsara. It's not samsara, you know. Samsara, yeah, people complain. Yeah, people think about samsari things. If samsari beings don't think about samsari things, then who is going to think about samsari things? Then they say, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe my practice is not good because I'm thinking about samsari things. Of course. Don't be surprised, you know, samsari being thinks about samsari things, that's why we become samsara, part of samsara. Well, if you are liberated, well, then, you know, one day you are happy, next day you are not happy, and then you can complain. How come I thought I was liberated? So now I'm having kind of bad day, you know, then you can really complain. But other than that, samsara is just filled with complications. Everything comes with the complications, you know. Job, like, you know, a house, like, you know. Well, you go to someone's friend's house and you see, oh, this cat, cute cat, crawling on their, you know, lap. And they say, wow, they're so cute. Oh, I really wish I have one of those cats. So you have no idea. That cat comes with the complications. Everything, the body, the clothes, house, that nice couch, you buy brand new car, that comes with complications, no? Well, everything. What is that? There's no something you're doing wrong. That's a part of, that's the nature of samsara. I can get no satisfaction. How is it? How is it, Rolling Stone? I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah. I can get no satisfaction. This very word is already in the teaching. Chebi mingom. No matter how many times we use, can't get no satisfaction. No.
Bad English.
No.
Poor English.
Yeah, can't get no. Can't get no satisfaction. You know, try to memorize this word. You know, little by little. Can't get no. Chebi mingom. Duma kunji gos. No. That is the door to all the sufferings, all the complications. Can get no satisfactions leads to, opens the door for more complications. So, that word is already there before Rolling Stone started. Word is already there, but they put it very nicely, but it's already there. That's a part of the limitation as a Buddhist that you do. This is beautiful samsari goodness, but in the end, these are not reliable. You can't rely your whole happiness on that. This will change. You know, I can't get no satisfactions. It's the road to all the complications. They say in the teaching it says suffering means no pain but means complications. That's how I see suffering means complications. So no getting no satisfactions opens the door for more complications. Therefore, everything, the nice clothes, nice food, nice house, all of that. Yeah, it's good to, not saying not to enjoy, enjoying them is something wrong, but you know, at the same time, it's very, very important to have this awareness. These are, you can't rely on them 100%. This will change. You can't just put everything on that. You can't put your all happiness on that. It will change. The frequent example that I use, you know, I can't just put all my happiness onto certain things that I use every day. For example, like cup. Could be cup or could be something, you know, that you are kind of attached to. But forgetting, the bigger meaning is to just drink tea, that's all. Why has to be yellow? But we have choice, you know, we have preference. There's nothing wrong. But at the same time, we have to be flexible. You know, doesn't have to be yellow, it can be this, as long as you can drink, you know, you can get something that holds on. But you know, we become particular. Oh, this, you know, the yellow cup, that's where I drink my tea in the morning. That cup's yellow cup. And every morning you look for the yellow cup. You can't just, you know, yellow cup is not going to be there all the time. Sometimes you can misplace. I misplace. Most of the time I misplace, then I blame Gisambo. My roommate, you know, Gisambo. I say, where's my cup? So then if you find out that he misplaced, then you want to lecture him. From now on, don't you ever, you know, touch my yellow mug. So that's where then I started to educate where all the cups should go, withdraw. That's where a cup goes, you know. That's where glass goes. That's where a cup goes. Those cities are more complicated, no? Doesn't matter. So they don't fight, you know, the cup goes to the glass house, the glass don't fight the cup. The glass don't say, oh, you shouldn't come here because it's our house. Because you are the one who knows doing that. So they just examine the relation to my life, you know, not being flexible, you know, we become particular, there's nothing wrong, but if we become so tight, and we are not flexible, you know. The point is just drinking tree, just drinking. So every day. So, knowing that the downside of that, you know, heavily relying all the happiness on one thing, that mistake. Can change, weather change. You know, if your happiness is all relying on the springtime, there will be four seasons in North Carolina. During three seasons you are going to be miserable. Because these three seasons are not going to be spring. It's going to be summer, winter, autumn, you know, something like that. Even the spring, that, you know, the weather is testing our mind, you know, so sending some pollen here, there, little bit here. That's like how much you're enjoying, so for example, like, how are you dealing with that, you know, sense of pollen, you know. So mind is so easy to disturb, you know, just the amount of pollen did not destroy your happiness. So anyway, so my point is not this, I can get no satisfaction. So that's like what is already there giving me what dunga kunji goes, because that leads to that open the door for more complications. So better, you know, that's why therefore it's very important to practice contentment. You know, to grateful, you know, practice gratitude, for grateful. The air that we breathe in, the walk we drive, the wonderful park, you know, all of that, you know, some part of the world, there's no air, clean air, there's no clean water to drink. It takes miles and miles just to get water to drink, you know, get miles and miles. In my hometown, in the winter time, going to bathroom, that's probably 50 zero below, because below zero, so there's no bathroom inside, indoor bathroom, they go outside, you know, so there's no electricity, you know, so like that. So everything is relative. So, you know, pretty good, so nothing to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow, you know, not worry about somebody going to bomb here, all of a sudden they're going to kill all of us. You know, like, there are so many things to be grateful, you know. Contentment, practicing contentment and minimize desire. Because why? Desire is not going to lead us to satisfactions. Wisdom will lead us to satisfaction. But no, desire is not going to lead us to, you know, happiness. Probably more desire, probably, you know, life is going to get more complicated. Less desire, my life is going to be simpler. So then, you know, it's going to, you know, so that's all I'm going to say. So then anybody else want to say something, please do, without pressure. Yeah. So based on I can get no satisfactions, please talk about how to practice contentment, satisfaction, so. And also, like, you know, like beautiful samsaric things are not reliable. We can talk about that too. You know, why it's not reliable, you know. You can't just rely all your happiness on something. It's going to be changed. It's a matter of time. It's going to be changed. It's going to break, or it's going to, you know. Yeah, so it happened in your life. It happened in my life. You know, you have this idea. Oh, it's going to be like this, and I'm put so much energy, so much effort, it's going to be like this all of a sudden. It's not going to be like this. It's not going to be like that. You know? It can be place that you never want to go back to see, visit again. It can be family members, you know? But you are going to have your mind, no matter what kind of circumstance, you are going to have your mind. It's good, it's going to be like that, you are going to have your mind. If it's not going to be like that, you're still going to have your mind. So you have to work with our mind. So we can, you can contribute on that, you know, to say something about how to practice satisfaction, to what is the point of minimizing desire, if that will lead to more happiness or not. Minimizing desire will lead to more happiness or not. Or how to practice gratitude satisfaction. So, if anybody wants to say something, you know, without pressure, no pressures, but everybody eager to hear. Yeah, please, when you talk, please face to them, you know, people can see, yeah.
I think that something really important to keep in mind so that you don't end up, not necessarily disappointed, but just kind of upset out some of the outcomes that you may get sometimes, is to not plan out every single detail of what you expect to happen. Because that's something that sometimes is out of your control completely, and you can't plan out, oh, I'm going to go on this trip, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, and I'm going to have fun all the way through, and I'm going to have money left over. And you can't do that, because what if you're on this trip and you see something that you didn't plan, but you still want to do, you want to have fun with it? It's not something that you can plan out, because in the end, you're going to be upset that, oh, I don't have any more money left, so I can't do this anymore because I don't have time. Like, you're just going to be hard on yourself for something that was out of your control in the first place.
Yeah, I end up working a lot by the waterways in Wake County, and there's a lot of development, so there's a lot of silt running off the development into the rivers and creeks and stuff, and I used to get upset about people not maintaining their silt fences and stuff, and now I just carry zip ties with me as I go. I fix the silt fences, and it makes me feel better and fixes the problem rather than complaining about it.
So I think one of the pieces to the point you're making, I think, from at least how I'm hearing it, is about acceptance, right? Because for me, the idea of being dissatisfied is usually that I'm not accepting something. It shouldn't be this way. Why did this happen? And so if instead I can say, okay, the fence is going to be broken, so what do I do to try to, you know, help me not be upset about that? And so starting with that point of accepting, just like Geshe-la says every Sunday and said this morning, you know, it's samsara, so it's not all going to be perfect. So if we start with that point of view, then we can change, you know, work on the pieces that we care about, like bringing the zip ties. So I think that's really a great example.
Because I thought it was sort of depressing. But, you know, I realize, you know, every day that I'm getting older and older, and my hearing is disintegrating, my eyesight is getting poorer, can't understand Geshe-la half the time, so I'm sitting here. So then I was reviewing the Lamrim outline at home, and I've been doing this for like 3 years. And then all of a sudden I got stuck on a line, and I couldn't remember it. And then I was looking outside, I was facing the window, and I saw cherry blossoms falling. And I thought, those are my brain cells. you know, I understand. I totally accepted my body falling apart, but to me it was like a revelation. Like, there goes my brain, and I didn't know. You know, I thought, but it wasn't you know, depressing to me. I just thought, oh, I didn't know my brain was going to go too that fast. And then I thought, later on, I thought, you know, I've been thinking about this from beginningless rebirths. Every time I would look out and get depressed and think, oh, you know, even though the tree doesn't realize that it's falling, getting upset, you know, every winter, you know, it dies and it comes back every spring, so that's fine, you know. So it's just like that. I've been doing that all these eons. I've been, you know, getting, you know, born and then abiding, getting old and dying. But this is the first time I'm going to believe that those are not my brain cells falling. Those are my negativities. My obscurations are falling. And I'm going to try to think of it that way. Otherwise, and this is why this life is so precious. Because finally I realized that. I have to change my attitude.
No, I was getting it from you.
One thing about that I think, like, when I try to always remember to not keep myself negative, and I always remember what you say, life is always going to come with complication. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to have to deal with some kind of negative side of that. And a lot of people always searching for, everybody has a goal, like a dream, or to be successful, or to find the right person, or find the right job, or the right career. But they never think about what they're going to have to go through to get there. They always think about the final outcome. And once they get there, what they're going to, all the positivity they're going to take from that. But they don't think about, am I willing to spend 12 hours awake, or am I willing to lose time with my friends or my child? And once you start thinking about what you're willing to go through, you separate yourself from the expectation or the disappointment, because you're going to have to go through something negative. So if you set yourself like, I'm willing to go through that, then the journey is more peaceful and it's happier. Because
I love the subject of self-acceptance, because that's what I'm learning through Buddhism, is self-acceptance. And what I'm learning is, every time I change something about myself, whether it be the way I dress, whether it be the way I talk, I can't expect people to react the same to me. And it's my response. I have to accept that. And I don't get angry about it, and rather than bashing people, I'm just like, okay, I've made a change to myself. How can I kind of fit into this imperfect world? And with me, that has helped me take the emotion off this law that was passed in North Carolina. Because I have one side that's, well, we want to deny your right. And then another side that has changed something about themselves, but gets mad when other people don't react in a kind way. It's not realistic. So, I just kind of see things different from my own view, that if I just change and accept inside me, that whatever I change about me is going to affect other people. And if it's not good, then maybe I'll change it again. Just not to blame people, because that doesn't get me anywhere. Would seem to me a rational solution would be just to have a transgender bathroom. And then everybody could get along, and then no one's angry. But thank you.
Uh,
I am. Real close? Okay, good. Thank you. I work in a 911 call center in West Virginia. Real close. Is this working? Okay, good. I work in a 911 call center in West Virginia. Thank you. And one of the things that, you know, as a general rule, we aren't dealing with people that are having a very good day. And usually when they call us, they want us to fix everything and make everything better. And we learn a lot of techniques that just verbally we walk through a way of helping to restore order of some kind to people's worldview. It's just one of the things that we do when we're, you know, just the normal course of a job. And, you know, I've been doing this in one form or another for about 15 years, so I've picked up a few tricks along the way. And then there are times when it doesn't matter what trick I pull out of the hat, it's not going to work. You know, people are going to be having a bad day, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be in a fight, and a lot of times it's with a spouse or a loved one, and they're just not going to get along that day. And one of the things that I have to keep in mind is, you know, if I pull out every trick in the hat, they're just going to be upset, period. And there's not going to be anything that I can do at my end. I got it. There's just not going to be anything that I can do at my end that's going to be able to help calm things down. It's that they're going to have to actually have somebody out there in front of them telling them to calm down. And that's just, you know, talking about samsara, and sometimes things just don't go the way you want them to. And, you know, a lot of times I can calm people down so that all the officer has to do is come out and write the report, and some days that's just not going to happen.
Very quickly, I have a favorite coffee cup that I've loved for maybe 25 or 30 years. And I realized I stopped using it because I remember the story of the cup being, or the bowl being broken, and there's nothing to worry about. You just let it go. And I realized it is going to break someday, or I'm going to die and I won't see it anymore, or whatever. And I started using it again, figuring, fine, if it breaks, at least I'm using it. So I'm trying to help myself enjoy things that I'm worried about. And that can carry over to people, too.
I know this may seem kind of silly and not particularly profound, but I've been thinking about the Rolling Stones. And they have another song. And the other song says that you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. Mm. And I think that's the other side of this, is that in accepting what we have and realizing what do we really want and putting value on the things that are really important, we find that maybe we have more than we need and all that we want.
Mm. Yeah, very good.
I just wanted to say that in keeping with people mentioning songs that are remind them of Dharma quotes and Dharma practices, one of my favorite songs along that line is Pink Floyd's song Time off of Dark Side of the Rainbow, because it reminds me of what Guru Rinpoche said. It's along the lines of, are you not aware of the sufferings of old age, sickness, and death? Now is the time to have enthusiasm for practice. And one of the lyrics in the songs, in Time, I'm trying to run it through my head real quick. It's the sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. So when I sometimes feel like I'm too tired to do a practice, or I'm too tired to do like my, it's usually it's like when I'm trying to do like my evening Vajrasattva, and I've got a 7-year-old and I've got a husband who works, you know, these very long shifts, and I'm just very tired. It's like I that song starts to play in my head, and it's always that one particular lyric that stands out is sun is the same in the relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. And it reminds me of what Guru Rinpoche said about, you know, are you not aware of these sufferings? Now is the time to have enthusiasm for practice. So that's another really good song, actually, ironically, that conveys Buddhist values without being necessarily Buddhist in and of itself. So.
Along the line of what the lady there said, it's very interesting to the people who move to this country to see what people here get attached to and what's important to them. And so we've been here 12 years now. So, you know, our kids were born here. I can see the way I grew up without a TV until I was 9 in communism, versus how my daughter plays on her iPad, iPhone, whatever, every day. And so what I wanted to say is that I just watched this video of Pope crushing the feet of the immigrants, and that led me back to being just the idea and how important it is to be grateful for every day and every person that's next to you, even the one that you think it's your worst enemy. Also, as a mom, it's a very important thing to me to appreciate and be grateful and kind to my kids. And I think, you know, we forget a lot, most of us, that the ones that are our family love us, and just to be grateful and be there for them. And also, I think, I kind of lost my idea, but what I wanted to say when she was talking was that idea of people not being aware of what they have. A lot of them are not. And they just get stuck in all this negativity and thinking, oh, this is really not what I wanted, or I didn't get to choose the pants or the perfume or the cream that I wanted, when other people don't even have a bread or anything to eat and don't have any idea, like these immigrants or, you know, all these people that are dying in bombing in Bruxelles, you know, not too long ago. Just hearing those people screaming and the kids screaming while you're watching on TV really makes you aware of what's going on in your life at that moment and how grateful we should be for even being here in a calm environment, in a nice state, or, you know, with great weather, with great people, with food and air and just to breathe. So enjoying the second, because life can end any moment, and it's done. So, sorry, I just kind of got sidetracked, but it's a lot.
I've thought on many occasions that maybe I should have been some kind of critic, like movie critic, music critic, food critic, because I seem to have a particular talent for it. And I heard for years, I heard that the, as hard as we are on others, that we're actually harder on ourselves. And I didn't see that for many, many years, that I thought that was kind of ridiculous, because, you know, I thought, well, obviously I love myself. Obviously I want good things for myself. And it took a really, really long time to realize that the attitude that I project outwards is also the attitude that I project inwards. And I didn't see it for many, many years, because there's this storyline that runs in my head to support this huge ego that I have. And because the ego can't live without this storyline. And so I couldn't see it. But that's something that I try to remind myself of now, is every time I become critical of someone else, I realize that I'm doing the same thing to myself. It's just hidden at times. And it's hard to notice, and it's hard to realize. And so that helps me to kind of put things in perspective. Thank
you. Did you enjoy?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, so very good, you know, so good to hear from, you know, like, this was a part of the teachings, you know, we are receiving teaching from not just one person, many people, you know, wonderful, yeah. So maybe I just want to say, like, we'll probably take 1 minute, and I just want to say a few quotes from the book, that's very famous book written by Shanti Devas, you know, Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. That book is really, you know, to explain how to, here we talk about attitude, you know, like going with the flow, all of that, you know, that book has so much to offer, you know, so we can learn. Simply reading that books, we can learn so much. So there's many, you know, like, kind of say, wonderful input, you know, about the topic. So very much related to, you know, these books. So one thing that Simji Mishin Namgashi, you know, unhappy beings, being or unruly beings are everywhere. Simji Mishin Namgashi is like vast as space. It's not just one, many Namgashi. There was when he said like 6th century, 8th century, 8th century, long, many centuries ago. This book is already translated in English. You cannot eliminate all of that. You cannot eliminate all of them. It's impossible. There's not just one, there's so many, it's like vast as space. If you can manage to control this, how do you say?
Anger
towards why these old people are not happy. No, yeah. When people are not happy, they don't act well, right? So then when the action has ripple impact. So if your mind is very vulnerable. So that's hard, you know, it's hard. Simply, if you can manage to destroy that one peace of mind that's called anger, is a pain. Sungu means pain. If you can manage to destroy that, that's equivalent of destroying all these unhappy beings. Is it easy? Not easy. Nothing is easy. You know, nothing is easy. Cooking is not easy. Yeah, you have wish to eat nice food, but nice food comes with work. Nice coffee comes with work, you know, even though we have this all kind of missions, but we have to do something, we have to put effort. No? Similarly, if the land is filled with thorns, you have two choices. You can either get big enough material that cover whole area, lands. You can walk on that without hurting yourself. Or you can just simply get one boot and walk on that. The same without hurting yourself. Then it's taking care of your mind is like wearing a boot. Taking care of all of that is like finding that materials to cover all of that. That's not going to be easy. It requires a lot of effort and it's not easy. No? That's another quote. So then this one doesn't relate to a lot of coming here. The another one is called Sinjimivanasoba, you know, there are so many different types of interests, perceptions, interests, opinion, different mindset. You cannot make all of them happy. Sinjimivanasoba, you know, Sinjim is sentient beings with the mindset, the things, particularly human beings. You know? We think, you know, we tend to think more than animals. So even the enlightened beings, even though when you get enlightened, when you become enlightened, you cannot make all of them happy. Why? Because they have different mindset, different interests, different attitude, you know, different desires. That's why. Therefore, even the enlightened beings, even though when you get enlightened, that's not a goal to make everybody happy. That's not going to happen. Even though when you get enlightened, that's the reality. Therefore, right now, I'm not enlightened. You know, how in the world that I can make everybody happy? That's not going to happen. But at least I can do something for my mind, make sure I don't get upset. You know, when people react in something negative, I don't get upset. Maybe I'll just leave the room. I don't have to stick there. I'll just leave the room.
know, avoiding, for the beginner, avoiding the object, you know, here what you say, having space, having space. They're similar with the avoiding object. You know, it's very hard to stick with the object than try to apply the antidote. Better to avoid object, you know. Not eliminate object, but avoid. Avoid object, you know, so then they're here. As they're creating space, as I need some space, you know. They're the same as saying, I need to avoid the object. No, probably not nice. Probably, I need space. That's much nicer to say. But I'm going to avoid the object. That's not really nice thing to say. But, you know, same point. Oh? So anyway, I just want to share this two quotes, okay? Oh? So I always try to, no, not always, you know, again and again, you know, trying to remind myself, well, you are not going to make everybody happy. Even though I'm getting enlightened, to someone there, somebody's out there is not going to be happy, no matter what you do, as Janame says. Sometimes you can make them happy. That clearly shows the nature of the samsara. You know, things doesn't go the way you want to go. You don't get what you say, you don't get what you want.
You can't always get what you want.
No, can't get, how is it?
You can't always get what you want.
Okay, I need to memorize that. So then I'll say it again next time. Oh yeah, there's no, I understand. So like that, you know, so like that, oh. So again, you know, thank you very much, each one of you who contributed, and I'm very happy that we have a wonderful group of people who come to center, you know, trying to open their heart, trying to be more gentle, more kind. That's wonderful. It makes me happy. So, okay, and that's your contribution. So, and people feel that when they come into center, they feel energy, they feel. So last time I was teaching in New York City, one person from Kadama said to move, due to family reason, moved to Virginia, close to Maryland, somewhere close to New York, anywhere, New Jersey, moved there. She said she traveled in this Kadama Center. She said she, whenever she comes to Kadama Center, there's like warm feeling. So that's contribution for each one of us, not just me. Each one of your presence contribute to, you know, create this positive environment when the people walk in, nobody judge, everyone trying to be nice. You know, that's the big achievement of Kadama Center, big achievement, you know. Not necessarily more Buddhist, that's not achievement, but that kind of feeling that people experience, that's our achievement, you know. Best achievements, you know. So that every one of you put in so much energy, so I really, you know, want to thank bottom of my heart. So we are wonderful group of people, okay? Thank you. Yeah. Then have a wonderful weekend. No?
Please turn to page 246 in the Gold Prayer Book. In the white binder, it's the dedication, Master Shanti Deva's Bodhya Karyavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Taditu Taditu De Soha. 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 Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha.